So, Christmas morning had come and gone, and Lisa Turner's husband still hadn't given her her Christmas gift. She had secretly hoped for maybe a laptop computer or a brand new outfit, but as morning passed, no computer, no outfit. In fact, it seemed like her husband had just forgotten her altogether. Then out of nowhere, her husband hands her the baby and says, "Here, he's got a present for you." You moms and dads know what that's all about, right? She cringed, and she knew what that meant, a stinky diaper. She was more than a little irritated that she had to change a poopy diaper first thing Christmas morning, but she grabbed the wipes and then prepared for the worst. But as she opened up the baby's diaper, it was completely clean, and she found a string of pearls in the diaper, a gift from her laughing husband. Wasn't that a wonderful surprise? Do you like surprises? Can I tell you, the first Christmas came with a whole lot of surprises. For example, God's son being born in a stable, surprise! I mean, if you were the creator of the universe, would you have planned it that way? Would you have planned the birth of humanity's Savior to be among animals? Would you have planned the birth of humanity's Savior to be in a damp, foul-smelling stable? Would you have planned the Savior's birth to be announced to a bunch of low-class citizens who are out watching over their sheep? And then would actually be the first visitors to his birth? No, I wouldn't have planned it that way. But that's the way it happened. And there's one thing for sure. We should not have been surprised by the Savior's coming. For centuries, the Old Testament Jewish prophets had foretold clearly that the Savior was coming. Man had been given all the vital information that they needed to prepare for the Savior's coming. We're told, for instance, that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. We're told that he would be born of a virgin. We're told that he would be coming to rescue his people. We're told that this person of Christmas is none other than God himself, clothed in flesh in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, last week, we were told what the primary purpose of his coming would be: to provide life in our deadness, but also to provide light in our darkness. But his coming and his purpose should not have come as a surprise. Today, we're going to read about the original proclaimer of Christmas. And in so doing, we're going to find three ways that you and I can be proclaimers of Christmas and we can respond to the coming of Jesus Christ. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1, that's on page 938 in the Bibles in front of you. And I want to share with you what John had to say about John. Amen. A different one. In verse 6 of John chapter 1, the scriptures tell us that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, and that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not even receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have received grace for grace." Friends, the first way that I'm looking into those scriptures, first way that I can see that we need to be responding to the coming of Jesus is we need to be revealing the light. Can I tell you, as a believer, you can reveal the light of Christ. Now, those first three verses contrast two different people. It contrasts the first, Jesus, the light of the world, but also the other was another earthly cousin named John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was one who was chosen to reveal God's love, to reveal God's favor in Christ. And he did that by bearing witness to the people of the long-awaited Jewish Messiah that they've been hoping for centuries. For centuries. And it was finally here. Finally here. But the question is this. Were they ready? Were they ready to receive him? Now, years ago, there was a minister who was waiting to fill up his gas station or his gas tank at a full-service gas tank. How many people here remember full-service gas stations? Wow, a lot more. Y'all are old, amen? I don't remember that. Hallelujah. Anyway, he was waiting to fill up his gas tank at a full-service gas station, and it was just before a long holiday weekend. Now, many customers were lined up, and the attendant was working his tail off trying to fill up all the cars. Well, finally, the attendant motioned to him to come forward to the next pump, and the man said, "Sorry, Pastor, about the delay." He said, "It seems like everybody wants to wait to the last minute before they go on their long-term weekend." And Pastor said, "Yeah, I know what you mean. It's the same in my business." Y'all, do you know what that pastor meant? What he meant was this: for the most part, people are not prepared for eternity. People are not prepared for eternity. Friend, if today was your last day, are you prepared for eternity? As God's people, we should feel that burden. That there are that many millions of people who are not prepared for eternity. We should feel that burden, and it should burden us to know that so many people are going to be spending eternity, now that's a long time, spend eternity in a sinner's hell just because we decided we weren't going to proclaim the truth of God. That should burden our hearts. We must proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And like John, we too are called to be proclaimers of Christmas. We ought to be proclaiming what happened on that first Christmas. We're called to tell people that there is light for those that are living in darkness. We ought to be called, or we know we're called, to tell people that Jesus is that light. You know, I read about a city that's located north of, in the northern part of Norway, way up there. It's an ordinary city except for the months of November to January. And in those months, the sun never rises above the horizon. And so it's a season of perpetual darkness. The people, they're normally healthy, but they'd be the first ones to tell you that these months of darkness cause them a lot of stress. that these months of darkness make them preoccupied with thoughts of suicide because they're not seeing the light. During this period of darkness, every undesirable characteristic of human beings begin to surface. Their fear level goes through the roof. Their envy of other people increases. Their suspicion of people grows, and crime goes through the roof. The citizens long for the light, and they have this fear of being alone. So much so that they actually install neon lights around the perimeter of their windows to simulate, to imitate sunlight. You see, when people are surrounded by darkness, when they're surrounded by darkness in this world, in their innermost being, they crave the light. So as God's people, we ought to be willing to show them the light. As God's people, we ought to point others to the light. You see, when Jesus first came, guess what? He didn't look like the light. He came as a shriveled up, crying little baby. He didn't come as some illuminated angelic being with wings and a halo. Instead, he came looking just like me and you. Just like one of us. And John the Baptist made it his goal to point him out to people who were living in darkness. Friend, do you remember who pointed you to the light? Think back to Vacation Bible School. Think back to when you first came to Christ. Think back to your first visit to the church. Who was it that pointed you to the light? Who showed Jesus to you? Do you remember him? Do you remember who pointed you to the light? Whoever it was, can I tell you, they were John the Baptist to you. Whoever it was, they were the ones who revealed Jesus to you. Whoever that was, they were the proclaimers of Christmas to you. And we need to do the same for others. We need to be proclaimers of Christmas for other people. So many people are living in darkness. The darkness of addiction. The darkness of broken relationships. The darkness of self-sufficiency. Somebody needs to show them the light. We need to do the same. And every man, every child, every woman needs somebody just like you to reveal Jesus to them so that they can then decide for themselves whether they want to get out of the darkness or not. But at least we can offer them an opportunity to come to the light. To celebrate Christmas correctly, we should respond to Christ's coming by revealing the light to people. But we also can make another choice. You can choose to reveal the light if you want to, but you can also choose to reject the light. In verse 9, John said, "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Y'all, Jesus came so that everyone, say everyone, so that everyone could know just how much God loves them. Every human being deserves to know that, don't you think? To know how much God loves you. See, when Jesus came, he fulfilled what the Old Testament Jewish prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 9:2. Isaiah said, "The people are walking in darkness, but have seen a great light. And on those living in the shadow of death, the light has dawned. Isaiah was talking about the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light that Isaiah was talking about. Now, on December the 17th, 1903, exactly 121 years ago last Tuesday, Orville and Wilbur Wright made their first flight in an airplane. In Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, on their fifth attempt, Orville enjoyed a 12-second flight. After that flight, his brother Wilbur rushed to the local telegraph office and sent this message: "We have flown for 12 seconds. We'll be home for Christmas." Well, the message came to his sister Catherine, and Catherine immediately took the telegram, went to the local newspaper editor, and said, "Look, my brothers have been flying in their new flying machine. They're going to be home for Christmas." And the editor said, "That is so awesome. I'm going to write a little story, a little article about the boys." And so on December the 19th, 2 days later, the local paper had a headline on the sixth page of the paper, and it said, "Wright Brothers Home for Christmas." The most important story about man's first flight, and the editor missed it. Missed it altogether. Y'all, in our rushing around at Christmas time, in our cooking and decorating and buying gifts, and even in doing ministry, I pray that we haven't missed the fact that Jesus has come. And that because Jesus has come, that calls for a response on our part. Because friend, 2,024 years ago, despite all the evidence, Jesus was missed. He was missed. You could summarize verse 10 with these three sentences. The word Jesus was in the world. The world existed because of the word, and the word was rejected by the world. Just that simple. The world missed it, and the world rejected their greatest opportunity. Verse 11, the Bible literally says, "He came home." He came home, and even his own family did not recognize him. I mean, these are the ones that should have known better. These are the ones that should have recognized him for who he was. These are the ones that should have known him. And so Jesus came to the country where God had stamped his name, the nation of Israel. He came to the land that had been promised to Abraham, the father of our faith. He came, friend, to the temple that had been dedicated to our Heavenly Father. He came to the chosen ones who knew that the Savior was coming, who knew, as Isaiah said, that the Savior would be the suffering servant that would give his life for all of mankind. But when Jesus came, he was rejected. And that brings us to this heartbreaking truth, y'all. Though Jesus should have been received by all people, even today, most people reject him. Most reject him. The one who said, "Let there be light." The one who lovingly cloaked his light in a human body in order to bring that light to people continues to be rejected today. But that doesn't change the fact that Jesus is the light. He's still the light, and listen to me, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is King, that he is Lord of all. It doesn't change the fact that he's still the light. And he continues to seek us out. He continues to pry his way into our lives, into our hardened hearts. Man, he must love us a lot, huh? So in response to the coming of Jesus Christ, you can choose to reveal the light, or you can just choose to reject him outright. But there's a third possibility, and that is you can receive the light. Verse 12 is probably my favorite verse in the scriptures. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh nor the will of man, but born of God. That's how we're received. Born by the will of God. So Jesus came. He was rejected. And boy, I tell you what, it sure did seem like our future was bleak. He came and he was rejected. Boy, it sure did look like we were all totally lost. He came and was rejected. It sure does look like we blew it. He came and he was rejected. And right then, it seemed like everything was a failure. Everything was a failure. And that's when John writes the greatest interjection in the whole Bible, the word, but. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You see, to this day, the greatest division among people is simply this. There are those who will receive Jesus and be saved, and those who won't and be lost. Two kinds of people, received and not. And there is an eternity of difference between those people who will receive the light and those who will reject the light. But I got good news for you today. You, to this day, can receive the light. See, we have the privilege of coming into a brand new relationship with God our Father. In 1 John 3:1, the same apostle that wrote the gospel, John, wrote this. He said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." He sure must love you a lot that he would want you to become a child of God. And friends, that's exactly what we are when we come to Jesus by faith. God changes us. God makes us part of his family. You see, his coming is undeniable. His coming was absolutely undeniable. But here's the kicker. For you to enjoy the benefits of his coming, you must respond. You must respond by believing in Jesus and then receiving him as Savior from your sins and Lord of your life. Suppose I had a little medicine bottle. And in this medicine bottle were some pills that I could assure you beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you took these pills, one a day, that you would never get cancer. Would that intrigue you? Is that something you might want to take? If you took one pill per day, you'd never get cancer. Well, here's the thing. Would that medicine do you any good? The only reason or only way it would do you any good is if you took it. If you received it. If you received it, that's right. As good as this medicine might be in preventing cancer in your life, the benefits would never be enjoyed unless you chose to receive it. The same is true of salvation. if you want to be forgiven of your sins, if you want to go to heaven to be with the Father for all eternity, you've got to receive it. And although Jesus provided it through his death on the cross, he provided it for you. If you don't receive it, listen to me, it ain't yours. You got to receive it. So what will you do with the light? Are you viewing your life now in the scope of eternity? Or are you just looking at the next couple of decades ahead, thinking that you're going to make it that long? I want to encourage you to view your life in light of eternity. Because when you start doing that, now you're going to see your need for the light of Christmas. I want to encourage you to do something different this Christmas. I want you to reveal the light. I want you to point other people to the light so that they can meet the only one that can make a real difference in their life. Point others to the light. Can I tell you that's a gift? You want to give somebody a gift? Give them that. Point them to Jesus. But you got to tell them. You got to let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Reveal the light. And whatever you do, don't reject the light. Don't miss it. Millions before you have missed it. Sadly, millions among us are missing it. They may have a great season. They may have a happy holiday, but they're going to miss the Christ of Christmas. Finally, reveal the light. Don't reject the light. And make sure that you have received the light. Receive the privilege. Receive the joy of becoming a son or a daughter of God. Believing in the name of Jesus Christ. Having all your sin erased. Boy, I like the thought of that, don't you? All your sin forgiven. And becoming a new creation. And then being used as an instrument in the hand of Almighty God to accomplish His will on this planet. You see, the kingdom of heaven is still under construction. And God wants to use you to build it. Will you reveal the light? Will you make sure that nobody in your circle rejects the light? Will you make sure that you have received the light? I pray that you'll do all those things. And in so doing, you will have celebrated Christmas correctly. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, we thank you for the Christ of Christmas. We thank you for the only begotten who has provided us with forgiveness of sin and an eternity with you. But Lord, if we don't take the pill, if we don't receive the Christ, then we can't receive the benefits either. Lord, if there's one, even one, that is contemplating coming to the Lord today, Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would quicken their heart, speak to their spirit, and that, Father, great and mighty things would occur in their lives as a result of what the power of God does through the life of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit has his way and his will in our midst this evening or this morning. But we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.